Sisters and brothers in Christ.
Good morning.
Our first scripture reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 to 31, and that can be found on page 1120 in your pew Bibles. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these things? Who brings out of the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Have I gone too far? No, I'm not. All right. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Our second reading will be taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Now I lost my mark. Oh boy, here I go. I got to find Mark all over again. That's the double. All right, Mark chapter 1. Bear with me here. Pastor Joe, I don't know here sometimes. Oh, you've got it. Thank you. I'm wearing glasses and I can't see. Ain't that something? All right, we'll start chapter, where are we going here? 29 to 39. Okay, Jesus heals many. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out the demons. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. What a day. Thank you, Marcia. I appreciate all the help I needed. All right.
Thank you, Cedar.
Thank you. God bless.
So our message this morning is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. So if you'd like to follow along. Paul writes, starting in verse 16, he says, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntary, I simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. And though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of God, for the people of God. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity once again to come together as your family, as your children, and have an opportunity to learn from your word so we might know your will and be able to walk closer with you each and every day. Guide us this morning in all that we do and all that we think and in our teachings, and just touch us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. All right, who understood what I just read? Al didn't raise his hand. He wasn't paying attention. He's got a beautiful new bride-to-be sitting next to him, so he's distracted. I was paying attention. Who's going to watch the Super Bowl today? Anybody? I bet a few people will have a little peek at it. I'll never make it through it all. I'll be fast asleep way before it's over. But I thought about that, and I got thinking about it when I was preparing again this morning. You know, the winner of that game, just like in any football game, the team that wins are because of the players that are all in. Because if they're not all in, there's no way you're winning. And that's what Paul's really talking about this morning in our lesson. So when I was writing my sermon, I wrote some things I really like to make sure that I share with you. So originally when I thought about this, going all in was like if you're playing in poker. Who's ever played poker? Come on, I know there's more hands. Who here has not played poker? Never played poker in your life? Do I need to explain this game? Do you know what it means to go all in poker? It's either that or you're desperate, right? It's usually at the end of the game. And it's like, my only chance is to go all in because I don't have enough to cover it. I want you to think about Paul's writing here today and what Jesus did for us. He made sure we had a way to cover it. And he made sure we had the win in hand. Jesus, he went in. He went all in. For you and for me. He didn't do it for himself. He went all in for all of us. So if you don't get anything out of the rest of my sermon today, I just want to make sure you have this one point. So all in actually isn't an action. Think about it. It's not just an action, it's an attitude. So to be all in
need to be all out. Because it's not about you. When we serve Christ, when we're all in with Jesus, it's about how many other people. It's about everyone else. It's probably the most selfless thing we can do. If you're going to play in the Super Bowl today, I'll guarantee you every player on that team knows that they're willing to sacrifice themselves so the player next to them can do a better job. So they can win. What do you think Jesus did for us? He was all in. He gave everything. So as we look at this today, I want to start, I really want to start off by reading what Eugene Peterson wrote in the Message. It might help every one of us understand this study today. He says, "Even though I am free of the demands of, and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and to all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, meticulous, moralist, loose-living, immoralist, and defeated and demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearing in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into God's saved lives. I did all of this because of the message. I did not want to just talk about it. I wanted to be in on it." Think about that. So in other words, Paul was just saying, for the sake of the gospel in Christ, he was willing to go anywhere, do anything, take part in whatever he had to do so they might have the opportunity to share the gospel of Christ, to share the good news of what Christ has done for each and every one of us. So to be all in, you got to give it all up. You got to go all out, don't you? It's the only way you can really win at this. So when I was thinking about this, and I got thinking, I need some good examples. And a few weeks before we had all this snow on the road and the neighbors were out, we're riding our horses all the time. I remember I'm sitting on my front porch and I'm watching a couple of the girls go by on their horses. And they were having a good time. And it's not 5 minutes later, all of a sudden I see this horse coming back, no rider. He's headed for the barn. But yeah, she's not having a good day. I hope she got off and didn't get thrown off. But as I thought about that, and I actually got to talk to her later, and she got off and the horse just decided to come home. But I got thinking about it. I remember seeing a sign one time, and I got thinking about Kathy Walker when I had one of them riding tables. And I had one of them signs up that said, "So we have horses for big people. We have big horses. For little people, we have little horses. For people who like to go fast, we have fast horses. If people like to go slow, we have slow horses. And for those of you who have never ridden at all, we got horses that have never been ridden at all." But I got thinking about that sign, and I'm thinking, you know, this really makes sense. Maybe this is a kind of sign we had to post out in front of the church. We need to be willing to be all in, to do whatever it needs to do to make sure that others come to know Christ. Isn't that what our real job is? Isn't that why we are here? Isn't that what Paul was talking about in his writing here? So as I thought about this, and I got to thinking, so what are the things that we really need to be all in on? Be willing to give up. So I thought of the first thing I thought about is we need to be able to willing to give up our preferences. So what do we mean by this? What did Paul mean by this? So when Paul, he was just an ordinary Jew. Now was he? He was quite accomplished. He was a brand new Jew, though. Because when he met Christ, everything changed. He realized that he now was free. He wasn't bound to his religion anymore. So now, when he encountered others, he wasn't bound to, in the Jewish community, he wasn't bound to all their spiritual, what do you want to say, hocus pocus, that went on, and according to his eyes now. He wasn't bound legally by their legalistic point of view. The only laws he was bound by now was God's moral laws. What do I mean by that? Think about preferences. So I want you to think about, it's Communion Sunday. I wore a tie. How often do I wear a tie?
Communion Sunday.
That's about the only time. It's, might say, my preference to wear a tie on Communion Sunday. Would it matter if I didn't? No, it would not matter. But that's my preference. The problem is, a lot of times, our preference becomes a conviction. We have to avoid that at all costs. Because when we take that preference, make it our conviction, now we're building barriers, aren't we? We're burning bridges. People have no way to, we don't have a way to communicate Christ and share the gospel with those around us. Paul was doing the same thing when he was back in his day. So now when he was with the Jews, he tells us here, he did as the Jews did. He abided by their legalistic way of trusting in God. Then he tells us he also abided by those who were more enlightened, the immature Christians, the ones who knew that they weren't bound by those rituals and those laws, the ones that knew that they could eat pork on Sabbath. Think about this. If we are willing to give up our preferences, won't others feel like they can come? Won't we have the opportunity to share the gospel, to the good news, to those around us? Don't let your preference turn into your conviction. Second thing I really got to thinking about. So you have to be willing to give up your privileges. Paul did. Paul gave up his privileges. So God called him to speak to the Gentiles. So all right, so God calls his super religious guy, because Paul knew all the rules, all the regulations of what you were supposed to do to be a good Jew. He says, guess what? I'm going to send you to see the Gentiles. I got thinking about that. It's like, I could really relate to Paul. I'm thinking, yep, Joe, why don't you go preach for a while? I realize you've been a grease monkey and laying under trucks and trailers for 50 years, but we're going to make a pastor out of you. That was really sad. I thought, boy, God, you made a bad choice here. But you know how many people we've got to speak to, how many people we've got to reach over the years? This wasn't my preference. It would have been my privilege to say, no, thank you very much. But I gave up that privilege when I said yes, because I'm all in. I'm all in for whatever God wants me to do. That's the way our church family needs to be. That's the way how we reach those around us. That's how Paul did it. He said, all right, I'm all in. So when I'm with the Jews, I'll abide by their legal rules and their rituals, and I'll go along with it. But now, when I'm with them Gentiles, now there's the party hardy crowd. I'm going to be with them. And then he wasn't doing it just to please people. He was doing this so so that you might have the opportunity to share the gospel, to share Christ. Sometimes we put up these walls and these barriers, and we don't have that opportunity anymore. Listen, I can't do that. Or, I'm such a privileged member of this community, I couldn't lower myself to do such things. I couldn't go with the party-hardy crowd. What would they think? Well, Paul did. That's how he was to reach others. He gave up his privilege. Too many times, I think, with our privilege, we think about it, we confuse passion for privilege. We take the privilege of what we have the opportunity to do, and we turn it into a passion, and we forget that our focus and our passion should really be on Christ and reaching others. Because that's what Christ did for us. What was his purpose here? What was his passion? Was to come so that we might have life, so that he would come die on the cross. Think about what he did for us. We have to be willing to do the same thing. Jesus said, and it was recorded for us in Luke 9, verse 23, it says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it." Well, when we think about this, so we have to be willing to what? What's the first thing we have to do? Is anybody awake? We have to give up our preferences. I want you to remember this. You have to give up your preference if you're going to reach others for Christ. You also have to be able to be willing to give up your privileges. Third thing you got to be willing to do. You have to be willing to give up your prerogatives. So what do we mean by that? In 1 Corinthians 9:19, I want you to read one more time what Paul said. He said, "So, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." Who's here willing to become a servant to all? If we think about it back in Paul's day, normally a slave, he would do anything to win his freedom. How many of us are willing to give up our freedom to become a slave? Ooh, that's hard to think about, isn't it? That's what it is to be all in. If you're all in for Christ, it's not about you. It's about others. It's about serving others. If you're all in for Christ, you already won. If you're all in for Christ, it's all about serving others. You have to be able to be willing to give up your freedom. Because that's the winning attitude. Today, so we're going to partake in communion here today. I want to talk to you. We're going to talk a little bit about the disciples. And I want you to think about them this morning as we partake. Think about there was 11 men up there in the upper room in Jerusalem. And they really began a movement throughout the world. It spread across Asia and Europe and eventually everywhere in the world. And think about it right now. Because of these 11 men and how they shared, how they were willing to be all in, There's now almost 2.6 billion Christians from 11 guys. Isn't that amazing? Because they were all in. We think about the pandemic and what's been going on. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. But think about how many lives and how many different people in the world we've touched. Because we're all in. Because we're willing to give up our privileges, our preferences, our prerogatives, so that others might come to know Christ. In order to be all in, though, you're going to have to give all up and make it about those around you, those that you've been called to reach, to teach, and to let know the good news of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we do thank you that we have been given the opportunity to be all in for you. Father, I'd ask you to guide each heart here today so they might know, so they might feel your presence, so that they might be willing to be all in, willing to give all up, so that others might come to know you, so they might be saved as well. Father, guide us. We thank you. We praise you in all things through Jesus, your Son. Amen.